Friends, it's a beautiful Thanksgiving weekend day. This morning, very purposely, I came to Alberton by the back roads. I do that often anyway, but it's a way of reminding myself of the land, the people, the world around me, in a slightly different way than I get when I just come across the lake. And it reminded me as I came here that we are truly blessed. That we have much to celebrate in terms of the Lord's creation and his care. And it is important that we consider that this Thanksgiving weekend. And as I said last week, it seems strange that my focus was on Thanksgiving last week. And the theme for this week is prayer for the world. Well, that was just to get you on target. Because the two go together, of course. And what I have in mind by talking about prayer for the world is a two-sided thing. One is God's creation, the world in that sense. The other, as we will gradually get to, is our associations with other people, for that is God's world also. I take you back to some verses from Isaiah. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. We come, you see, to celebrate that the Lord is the creator, the keeper of life. And it is essential for us in faith to keep that ever before us. Because it has a number of implications. One, of course, is that it invites us to notice the beauty and the bounty of God's creation. That we not just travel through life sort of oblivious and just taking for granted, but reminded when we look at the land around us, when you look up at the sky on a dark, starry night, that this is the Lord's creation, and we are blessed to enjoy it. And he has placed us here for the purpose of being his people, and a natural component of our response is thanksgiving. And so may it be in this holiday weekend, which also reminds us of thankfulness, that we find time to pause and specifically to thank God for his creation, for the wonders of the world around us, for the bounty of the land. And we're an especially privileged people in many respects because we live in a part of the world that is bountiful, that does produce generous crops. And we must remember that this is not of our doing. This is God's blessing. Now, the scriptures have for us a reminder of something else related to God's creation, and that is that as we are his creatures and as this is his creation, he has also given to us as human beings a role within his creation to care for it. Now, to till the land, yes, to cultivate it, but also essentially to care for it, to nurture the land in a way which accentuates the intended blessing that the Lord has for us in his creation. And at this point, you know, we have to concede that we haven't always done so well. We live in a world which is often marred by our failures to care for the land. And some of that is not that we have set out as human beings to do these things, but we have grown into patterns of life that aren't really very sustainable. We have undertaken things that were of great convenience, but had side effects that we didn't always recognize at the beginning. And now we struggle to do better. And there's no simple answer to this. We still are in a part of the world which is immensely blessed materially. When we stop and think about it, you know, we are amongst the richest in the world. Oh, we look at other people in our society and we say, they're rich. But we too are greatly blessed. And if you put us on some sort of continuum with all the people on the earth in this generation, we're way up near the top. And so, in a special way, responsibility falls to us to care, to live out with faithfulness our gratitude to God. Because gratitude to God isn't just saying, God, thank you, give me more. Gratitude is saying, Lord, thank you. What do you desire that I should do with what you have entrusted to me? When it comes to issues of caring for the earth, you know, the challenges are great, and it is very easy for us to excuse ourselves because we say, well, what can I do? You know, what difference will it really make in the grand scale of things, whether I do this or I don't do that? Well, it matters in our relationship with the Lord. Whatever the ultimate impact on the whole course of human history. Because if we are grateful to God for his creation, then we must strive with his guidance, with his help, to be good caretakers of what he has blessed us with. And to do that in a sense not just of obligation, though there's a lot of basis for that too, but to do that in a spirit of this is our thankful response to the Lord. Because prayer is, yes, our conversation with God, but it's not just a conversation without an active response. Because when we pray, and when we ask God to guide, to lead, to provide, at the same time, of course, we then undertake to do as best we can with the resources that he has provided to fulfill his purposes. So, yes, we have reasons to pray for the world, praying in that spirit of being willing to act consistent with our prayers. to express gratitude, to live more stewardly lives, caring for God's creation. Now, the second part of this is maybe even more challenging. Because, you know, we struggle to relate to God's other human beings. They are also God's creation. And, Luke 6 reminds us of our calling, not just to God's material creation, but to his human population as well. He speaks some difficult words here for us. First of all, he reminds us that we're privileged and that it's not of our accomplishment because we don't control everything about our world. And he says to some of those who were with him that he was conscious were not people who wanted to thank God. He says to some of them, "Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. And woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep." And then he leads into a word of counsel that's very challenging for us. Jesus said, "But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies." Could it start any more difficult than that? "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you." And we have to concede that runs counter to almost all of our instincts. But Christ, you see, has given us here not just the challenge to care for God's creation, the physical realm, but challenges us to live well in terms of the human population of the world. Jesus goes on, "If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." We are challenged when we offer thanksgiving to God and desire to care for his creation. We're challenged to live out a larger calling. Actually, you know, Isaiah, in that material we read from Isaiah 42, also addresses this. Isaiah says, speaking for God, "I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness, I have taken you by the hand and kept you, I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols." So our challenge, you see, is not just to value God's material creation, but also to remember that God has called us to be a light to the nations, to be an example, to be a demonstration of the Lord's intention with our relationships with other people, as well as with the physical world around us. That too, you see, is part of taking care of God's creation. So we pray for others in the world, recognizing as we do so the challenges that they face, asking God to help us respond in an appropriate and compassionate way, and then being willing, with God's help, to live that out. To pray for people who are being treated unfairly in the world. And there are hosts of them. To be concerned about that. Not just to say it's off somewhere else, not our problem. But no, to hear God's voice and to know what his intentions are, to thank him for his care, and then to seek his guidance, to live in such a way that blessing is shared. You see, we don't have to know the specifics of people's circumstances to understand that they have needs. And that's the beauty of our relationship with God. We don't have to explain it to him. He knows. We don't have to understand all the problems to know that they're real. And we don't have to profess that we have all the answers if we lead by God's grace with the right attitude. And so this too, you see, becomes part of our thanksgiving that God has created the world and that we too are his creatures. And that we are challenged to live as his people with that same attitude of compassion and grace that God has for us in Jesus Christ. And then to strive as we pray that we will live consistently with our words. So I let this stand before you as a bit of an expansion of thanksgiving. So on your way home this morning, look around at the fields and thank God for his bounty, the beauty of his world. Hug a tree. But know also that the Lord intends us to care for his creation. And as you go along in your life in the coming week and days and weeks, you encounter those you feel very close to, and you encounter others you feel rather distant from. May it be our prayer that God will help us live with faithfulness to him, in a spirit that reflects his compassion and his grace. And as we do so, may we thank and praise him. So these are challenging words that Christ issues to us But may we hear them and seek to bring them to reality. This too is good news, challenging as it is. Thanks be to God. Amen.